Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. Welcome to Technovation. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to present a special broadcast from our Meta Strategy Summit, which was led by Alex Krauss, Vice President of Meta Strategy and leader of the East Coast office, who joins me now. Alex, welcome.
Thank you so much, Peter. Glad to be here.
Wonderful. So Alex, the topic that you covered was business capabilities, and especially for those who might be listening for whom the topic might be esoteric. Can you provide a bit of a definition as well as why you thought it was a relevant topic for our conference?
Yeah, absolutely. Allow me to start with a definition, because when we hear business capabilities, we may have different concepts or items in mind. So when we talk about business capabilities, we are really talking about the organizational competencies that bring strategies to life at all levels and across the organization. They essentially the organizational building blocks that establish the vital connection and the accountability between forward-looking strategies and near-term actions. I would say they are close to the lifeblood of the organization. They determine the value of business impact, but also the value of business outcomes. I would say they're particularly relevant because they are, as part of core competencies and business capabilities, a really old concept. However, the extent to which technology determines business success, irrespective of whether you are a technology company or not, has never been greater than today. Business capabilities ensure that the business centricity and the business outcome-oriented focus of leadership and execution are on target. They allow the assessment, the mapping, and the focus of leadership and execution. They allow us and the executives to map, improve, and evolve organizational structures and go well beyond project or product development life cycles. We know from our conversations and from the collaboration with the technology and business executives across many industries that the voice of the senior most technology executive has never had more weight. We see that in the CIO plus and beyond CIO roles that you have extensively written and spoken about, as well as in the realities in our clients, executive leadership teams, and the boardrooms, the people we interact with at Meta Strategy. Peter, lastly, let me talk a little bit about the outlook. So what do business capabilities look like? So I think as the convergence of business and technology continues, probably at an ever faster pace and in probably more foundational ways for both organizations and consumers, I think the maturation and evolution of business capabilities will gain in importance. I believe the focus will continue to shift and frankly broaden from business capabilities to more integrated business and technology and digital strategies, and ways in which organizations can improve their agility and thereby their ability to prepare for strategic pivots. As a final point, I would say that the ability to make these pivots and to adjust to changes that can come from the internal or external environment may be the ultimate litmus test of how mature any given business capability really is. And that's one of the many ways in which we showcase business capabilities and use them to help organizations further improve.
That's great. And Alex, the two executives that you spoke with about this topic were Angela Yocum, the Chief Digital and Technology Officer of Novon Health. I should mention she was also the Chief Information Officer of Rent-A-Center, of BDP International, the CTO of AstraZeneca prior to that, and Simonti Godbole, the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Lowe's, who had previously been the Senior Vice President of Technology and Digital at Target prior to her time at Lowe's. Talk a bit about this topic and how it relates to these two executives and their companies.
Yeah, I'm glad to do so. So I think what's really wonderful is that not only were we able to talk to very high caliber female executives, but we are also able to talk to executives who represent very different industries. And now if you think about the industries that the respective organizations are in, so Novon Health is a fast-growing player in the healthcare space. They are not-for-profit organization with $5 billion of revenue, but their customers are ultimately their patients, and there's almost 100 million of them in the case of Novon Health. And they really come to the organization with their most important questions and needs relating to their health and their well-being. So as the CDO and CTO, with the CIO reporting to her, Angela has a huge portfolio and a very broad range of business capabilities that she's really in charge of. And that ranges from things like digital health, which has been a major focus for Angela and Novant Health. But it also includes things like patient care. These are really century-old capabilities, but they determine, as I said, the health and well-being of the customers and the patients. So they're critically important. So I would say really there are few industries that have seen so many life-changing opportunities that are made possible or realized through technology as healthcare. And there's certainly plenty of potential for future innovation in the healthcare space. On the other hand, Angela and her team do not only drive the advancement of patient care, but they also operate in a world where it takes a lot to be a leader. She operates in a very diverse and interdisciplinary team. Just remember that Angela's peers, for example, are a combination of business leaders, scientists, and doctors. And you can imagine that leadership in that space comes with a lot of cultural challenges and business challenges. And Angela tackles them every day. And that makes for a lot of interesting insights when it comes to business capabilities. Now, Simantini, on the other hand, Simantini is the senior most technology leader for Lowe's. And as we know, Lowe's is a well-recognized brand that's known to most Americans. And that's no surprise because it's ultimately 18 million customers that visit Lowe's and that are served by Lowe's and its associates every week. On the other hand, Lowe's also has about 300,000 associates. So if you think about business capabilities for Lowe's, it really means two very different things. It means everything that's customer-facing across various demographics. That includes the physical experience in the stores when the customers shop for all kinds of products ranging from building supplies to machinery, but it also includes the digital experience. So it's a really good example of what a cross or omni-channel environment looks like. On the other hand, the internally facing business capabilities are very operationally and execution focused, and they need to be able to support the very diverse tasks that the 300,000 employees perform on a daily basis. What is also interesting is that Simantini is responsible not only for the day-to-day operations, but she's also responsible for everything from Lowe's digital to data and analytics to the innovation function. And that is certainly no small feat for an organization of the size and impact as Lowe's.
Well, without further ado, let's get to that very conversation. This is Alex Kraus of MetaStrategy together in a conversation with Angela Yocum of Novant Health and Simantini Godbole of Lowe's.
Simantini, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about what the strategic and foundational capabilities for Lowe's are?
Yeah, and I think that is quite generalized. For example, you have to build foundational capabilities. I think in the last conversation also, I 100% agree that you can build some fancy apps, but it'll only take you that far unless and until you've fixed your foundation. So we are on a very aggressive journey at Lowe's. And from a retailer perspective, what we are saying is what are some of the most foundational capabilities that we should have? And they should really be at the best in class level. It's about being able to set up your products that you sell. It's about being able to price them correctly and as dynamically, as often as you want. You need to be able to set promotions. You need to be able to take orders in any channel. So in Lowe's, you could be at home, you could be in a store, you could be a pro where we are coming to your office and selling you stuff. You may never even set a foot in the Lowe's store in the whole life cycle of the order. Or we could be coming to your house and installing a dishwasher, doing a detail on your HVAC system and stuff like that. And to do this business really successfully and just give an exceptional customer experience across all these channels, we needed these foundational capabilities. And I think we have them and we have built them in-house for quite some time. But they are not at a level as the business changed. We didn't quite keep pace with that. And that's why when I arrived, my first reaction was that we really significantly need to invest in these core capabilities and actually get them going. And frankly, that will really help us build the apps. And those apps can change really, really quickly then. I feel like right now I'm at a triangle where we are investing a lot in the business capabilities and we are investing in the customer experience. But what I hope is that next year we flip that triangle upside down. Hmm. And then, once the business capabilities are built, of course, we continue to invest in them. But what happens is the experience is at the top, which is where we are investing heavily. And that kind of brings literally new things that customers can experience on an everyday basis is what I feel.
Excellent, excellent. And no surprise, so focus on the customer experience. And I should mention you spent your last 9 years working at Target.
Yes.
Also making heavy use of data and other capabilities related to shape the customer experience. We'll come back to that. Angela, in your role, for you, the customer is very different. But I imagine some of the capabilities are also around serving the different stakeholders and customers as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the core capabilities of Novant Health?
Sure. So healthcare, as we all know, is undergoing a significant transformation. We're not talking about delivering healthcare the way we always have, right? We deliver healthcare through digital means. We deliver healthcare through digitally enhanced, traditional channels. And when we think about, at the exec team level, how do we fund these sorts of innovations that happen? They may have digital components and they may not. These are the capabilities that we need to have in place to support the outcomes that we're hoping to achieve for the communities that we serve and for additional communities that we don't yet serve but will, 5 years from now, 3 years from now, even next year, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about what the exec team level of visibility needs to be, we found that this notion of business capability is an easy way to have those conversations with people who have maybe been ensconced inside the traditional healthcare world more than others of us have. Mm-hmm. So we have about 167 business capabilities that we've identified, and we've categorized them, as you'd imagine, into those capabilities that are in support of what we're calling the care layer. So these are capabilities that have to be in place in order for us to care for a diabetic or for a child. I mean, these are very specific because if you click through those capabilities, there are many layers underneath that, right? Okay. And then we have the as you mentioned, foundational capabilities that as you can imagine. Data, all things related to data, very, very important enterprise information management capabilities that have to be in place in support of some of the advanced analytics work that we're doing, some of the AI work we're doing, and so on. And then you have like point-specific, let's just call them functional capabilities. These are things that have to be in place in support of running our business and continuing to grow at such a rapid pace. So we have the capability list. We have started to form, and with varying degrees of sophistication, because it's a large organization. We're starting to form product teams. So we have some really solid product teams that are running in a very, exactly as one would hope. And then we have others that are still sort of, forming and storming and whatever that is. But we're focusing on, I always get this the wrong order, I can't remember which goes first. But we're focusing on the things that we were able to identify at the exec team level that we think are going to have the greatest impact. They have to getting us to the outcomes we're trying to achieve sooner. So it all hangs together. What are the conversations happening at the board level, at the exec team level, to, how are we thinking about the work we do in the portfolio of activities that are ongoing, all the way down to, okay, who are the people on the ground? Who are the product teams? How are we managing those product life cycles? And then what new products emerge? So, we have a retail pharmacy. We partner with other retail pharmacists. One new capability is drone-based delivery. We talked about this before, right? So that is a new capability. That ability will be managed as a product for us.
It's amazing.
Yeah, super cool.
But by the way, as we continue the conversation, Simantini and Angela have agreed to take questions from the audience throughout the conversation, in addition to reserving some time at the end. So if one of you or multiple of you feel inclined to ask questions, please jump in at any time. Simantini, you talked when we talked previously a lot about the business capabilities being the linkage from strategy to execution. Yeah. But you also talked about tying it back to strategies and using, in your case, I think OKRs, a way to measure and kind of tell the story of the impact that Angela also mentioned on business outcomes and as you mentioned earlier, customer experience. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that is very important. That discipline is very important. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we talk about product teams as a very creative function, and of course it is. But I think it has to be coupled with discipline. Mm-hmm. And I think the routines we have now at Lowe's are, you have these product teams around these business capabilities. And then you fund them, right, with a business case. And then you need to come back. So we do it on a quarterly basis where we come back. So we have had two of those since I have come in. And we come back and we kick the tires on the business case again and find out if we met it or not. Did we exceed? Did we fall short? And you know, frankly, in the first two rounds that we have had, we haven't really, frankly, on most of the business capabilities, have kind of started realizing the benefit. And I think that is expected. But I think this is also a humbling moment in those sessions where people, you know, it's also funny when you start making business cases, sometimes I challenge my people that, hey, by now we should have been a $150 billion company at this rate, because yeah, it's right, everybody right. is like, and then you kind of come back and you, there is a sobering, it's a sobering exercise, right? But also there are a lot of surprises and hidden surprises and actually moments of delight that you find out that, hey, I had expected to make money a certain way, and this is what I was expecting to come out of this product. But you know, we went down the path for the last quarter. We have discovered something different, and actually, it has opened a whole new door for us. So, of course, we'll continue to pursue the main business case, but we will do something along with that. You know, the other part that kind of rolls up into technology portfolio, and you know, Marvin and I, when we were talking about this role, we were very excited about it from the very beginning, which is innovation. So it's really product engineering, data mm-hmm. and innovation. And I feel like even for innovation teams to be extremely plugged in as to what are your capabilities, what are the product capabilities, what are the KPIs, right? How do we measure those KPIs? And having them listen into all those conversations can really spur innovation in ways which is not duplicative of what is already going on, but what is out there, what are the, I think in the last panel discussion, fascinating, right? Like the whole job of innovation is to find out, and of course your core organization, what are the new revenue streams?
Right, right.
And how to have a discipline from the very beginning in your thinking as to, well, I'm going to get measured and there are going to be KPIs. Mm-hmm. And what should I be measuring? And, you know, I may find something which is surprising, and that's okay.
Great. I want to follow up on the innovation capability that both of you mentioned. Angela mentioned the drone delivery. We're going to come back to that. But you talk about that too. Lowe's now has chosen the path of maintaining an innovation lab.
Yes.
Actually, Peter featured that in one of his articles as well. And one of the most recent things that came out of that, interestingly, is your 3D display of products. And I believe it's a capability that you developed internally, but also as a product to then offer to other third parties. Can you talk a little bit about that innovation lab? Innovation is in your area of responsibility?
Yeah, so we have our innovation lab in Seattle. Mm-hmm. We chose the location a little bit more thoughtfully from a perspective of, you know, where is the intersection of data, mobile, you know, experiences, all that is happening. And we also wanted it to be a little bit away from the headquarters so that, we sort of nurture that disruptive thinking about, well, we have to think differently or do things differently. So it sits out of Seattle. And I think one of the things that we are doing right now is that 3D capability we are, you know, A-B testing on Lowe's.com yes. as we speak here. And what they have done is, this is all about just making sure that we have images. I mean, some of these things in home improvement, for example, if you are an installer and you are buying a dishwasher, you're a pro, you're a property manager, you're building hundreds of houses, you're buying hundreds of dishwasher, and now you want the easiest install. And it's very important for you to see the ports, the way you're going to install it, and then rotating that appliance and making sure you understand exactly how you're going to construct the layout around it of the house is really important. So I feel like what we have done is we have aligned the innovation more back to our business. So, mm-hmm. of course, it is futuristic, but at the same time, we are asking questions such as, in 6 months, 9 months from now, how can we derive value out of this innovation? How will it change our business model? What would it do to our revenue? What would it do to our customer experience? Would mm-hmm. this be something that our customers, you know, sometimes customers have been waiting for something and you bring it to them? And sometimes they have never been expecting it. And this yeah. is something completely brand new. And then it becomes a habit. just like it has become with our devices and stuff. We never expected touch screens.
Right.
And now we can't seem to live without them. So I think that's the pivot we have done with the innovation team.
Fantastic.
And really interesting team. I mean, the other thing we have done is a little bit of like a Shark Tank model where the innovation team comes in front of the executive team and kind of presents innovation. We kill some of them right there and then. Not the team, the experiment. But we kill some of the ideas right there and then. Because I am also a big proponent of clarity. There is no point in leading them on for months and months without telling them that, hey, by the way, we hate it.
Right.
So I think we sometimes just say, hey, we hate it. And
well, that's something that seems obvious, but we see in so many cases that some things just linger on forever and forever. You throw good money after bad money just because you've begun the investment. So killing it early and focusing on those that deliver or promise to deliver business value is important.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Like stringing them along doesn't really make sense. And in some cases, we say, you know, we have almost adopted the VC model of startups where you have the angel fund, then you have the series one and series two rounds. And it's almost set up that way now where we say, hey, is there a SVP around the company in the business? Who would angel fund it? And what we mean by that is not necessarily writing a check, but it's like, would you be willing to go with this team into that pitch of Shark Tank and be able to stand up? And speak for it. And if not, I think you just failed the angel fund round itself. Like your friends and family are not writing checks for you. That's a pretty bad sign.
Yeah.
But once you do that, then you come into kind of like the first Shark Tank is sort of like a series one and it goes on. And in my mind, just like a successful startup finally goes public or gets bought, I feel like these ideas should come back and then become mainstream and become part of one of the business units. That's really the cycle. And if you go through that one cycle, which we haven't, but once we go that way, I feel like that's really a successful innovation cycle, and that's how we should really
be operating. Fantastic. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Angela, let's linger on the innovation capability a little bit longer. For you, that means different things, but there's some parallels. But you very much focus on patient and other experiences.
Well, you know, we've taken a very different approach to promoting innovation. The thinking is in our organization, we want to create this culture of innovation, this culture of learning, this, you know, you'll hear us talk about it, very freely inside of digital products and services. So we've crafted these constructs, which is part of the capability set that is foundational in nature, that allow us to very quickly test, ideas. So it's interesting. The physician, I'm telling you, the MD, PhD community, of which we have many thousands, you know, we have thousands of people, you know, who fall in that category. They all have great ideas and they want to come forward and run some tests, with some of the things that they've either seen, become available commercially or things that, you know, research that they've seen happening and in universities or other entities or startups in which they're involved as investors or otherwise. And so the construct that we were able to put together, the experimentation as a service construct, is one in which we can broadly pull in the right product team members to do some quick tests, quick learnings, varies, you know, there's a hypothesis, we test the hypothesis, you know, what do we learn from it? How can it be applied to adjacent cases? You know, the whole thing. So that's very broad and generic. We have just, actually today, I think the announcement's going out, we've created a refined, specialized, experimentation as a service construct around what we're calling innovation and artificial intelligence, Institute of Innovation and Artificial Intelligence. So that's co-led by our chief medical officer, who, you know, great story. He's relatively new in role. He's used to run our neuroscience practice. He was a brain surgeon. Before he was in medicine, he was an aerospace engineer at Raytheon. So he's actually a rocket scientist and then a brain surgeon. And then that's my colleague, right? So
that's a great story to tell.
So someone was asking me last night, you know, do you find, or it was Steve. Steve just mentioned to me earlier. He's like, yeah, do you find that, you know, you have to educate a lot of sort of old school, you know, healthcare thinkers? And I'm like, well, I think they're getting it. Yeah. So in that case, you know, we have six significant experiments in the pipeline. On one end of the spectrum, we have something that is, it has to do with image reading and it's being used in one, nation, their state healthcare organization, and that's the only other place it's being used. So we're running that through its paces right now. And then on the other end of the spectrum, We have, you know, well-established commercially available products that are being applied to specific cases that are particularly useful to us or areas of either gaps or of interest in the communities that we serve that are AI-based. And it's all lays on top of, you know, the data capabilities that we put in place before. So it's a very, it's a construct that not only allows for this process to be repeated and predictable, but it also pulls other people in. So we have people being seconded into this institute now, you're lining up to be seconded. So our vision is to actually have a rotating staff set. So instead of having a team that's the innovation team, which we think, could be off-putting in some of, you know, the communities in which we engage internally, you know, we all get to be part of the innovation team from time to time, depending on the experiment being run.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. So not all of your stakeholders are rocket scientists or brain surgeons.
Alas, no.
One thing that, Angela, you have mentioned and you have actually talked and written about a little bit is that the focus on business capabilities elevates the conversation.
It does.
And allows you to have a conversation that may include technology but is not limited to technology.
Oh, of course.
So I was wondering, and both of you have mentioned it, if you can talk about that a little bit. Samantini, maybe you start just talking about like what kind of conversations you're having by focusing on the outcomes, the business outcomes and the capabilities that maybe by just focusing technology were more difficult to have.
Yeah, and I think, you know, here's the thing, right? Like you, as a CIO, and I think I'm not saying anything new for this room, you have to be a really good business leader.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're just talking technology, probably nobody's understanding you at your, like, you know, when you go to your CEO and his other direct reports along with you. You know, talking about technology a lot, and you know, we are such a buzzword industry. Like, we could just go on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really help. I mean, I don't know if anybody's understanding you. And I think it can work for some time because they'll say something like, well, sounds really smart. And like, okay, I think this is great. And then one day they may just run out of patience. Like, hey, we are not understanding anything. What's going on here? And we can't support it anymore. So I think you really actually have to speak their language as opposed to speaking technology language is one thing I feel. Many times what I do is I use a lot of analogies for them to understand technology because the people I work with, you know, are supply chain experts, are store experts, are merchandising experts. They are not necessarily technology experts. So sometimes they are like, well, everybody talks about cloud, must be a really good thing. I don't know what's going on. She says she wants to go to cloud. Okay, mm-hmm. Fine, I guess. And I don't think we want to leave it at that because we really want to explain to them that what you're doing about cloud. And the way you know, we have explained is that we are building these Lego blocks and we are putting, which are the capabilities, right? So you can quickly build what you want. And you quickly take it down and build something new, you know, of what you want. And that's why it is quick. And we are going into cloud because you can have more Lego blocks if you want on a day like the Mother's Day when you're, you know, it's the day of all the restaurants. And similarly, we have our Black Friday. And I think just explaining to them in a more simple language actually has taken the fear away in the conversation. And now they talk to me very freely about what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. Are there things they still don't understand? I think the favorite question is, are we there yet? Because, it sometimes feels like you're driving the car. All these people are passengers and, you know, they are running out of patience every now and then. So from a business capabilities perspective, talking in a simple language, talking business language, telling them how it is going to work for business, where OKRs help a lot. But because of the capabilities and product teams and agile methodology, bringing some visible signs of progress at a very rapid pace, at a very predictable pace, is also very important. Like telling them, well, wait patiently for 2 years because at the end of the 2 years, there is rainbow and all that great stuff, doesn't work because, you know, 2 years in technology and in this market and in this day and age, right, is just too much.
Right.
So you have to tell them, like I talk to them in terms of, hey, what's going to happen in days? What's going to happen in weeks? What's going to happen in months?
The expectation and setting.
And then showing them and really, and then making them part of fun exercises. Like the Shark Tank has been fun for people. It's been fun for people. We did like a something called as a workshop day, which is basically demo of all technology products.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one coming up, a big one in September. We did an event with Google where, on cloud and API development. And I think involving your partners, your boss in these events kind of makes them understand what technology is all about. So that has been helpful.
Wonderful. And I want to come back to a theme that has come up before. And I know Angela has used business capabilities, not just at Novant Health, but also at organizations you previously worked at. So you have a lot of experience there. And you always talk about the cultural aspect. And business capabilities are intrinsically linked to the operating model of an organization, but also yes. to the culture. Can you talk a little bit about how you've seen culture and the operating model change or identifying the need to change in those areas as well?
I think it allows us to shift the conversation to something that's more meaningful across the board to all parts of a business. It's not just about the language, although that's certainly very important. It gives us a chance to talk about, it gives me a chance to engage in the decisions that are being made, the investment decisions that are being made by my colleagues and other parts of the organization, right? So these are the capabilities we're all building, right, together, people, process, technology, third-party engagements, et cetera, then let's talk about where we're going to shift investment based on what we think the primary, our optimal strategy would be. Mm-hmm. So that conversation then becomes, we're speaking the same language. It's the language that reflects the capabilities we've all agreed think need to be in place, the priorities that we've identified based on the outcomes we're trying to achieve sooner rather than later, and the foundations we're trying to put in place in support of growth, merger, whatever. That is not a technology conversation,
exactly.
Right? There are elements of technology. My job is in part to, identify where technologies can be applied.
I love that, yeah.
Right? But I can also, just as easily as part of my job, identify where, process optimizations can
exactly.
be applied or where an interesting partnership or a new JV could be spun out to do a certain type of work for us as well as for other. This is just part of wearing the business hat, meaning you're an executive of a company, right? That's the responsibility area. Then you put your technology hat on because it's also my job to make sure that the domain expertise is represented at that table. But that it's really a language. And then culture sort of flows. Mm-hmm. So when the executive team and the senior leadership team levels, start speaking the same language, people get on board. I mean, not everybody, but you know what I mean? It's easier to get on board.
Exactly. Wonderful. Well, thank you. And what a fantastic note, saving lives with technology and AI. Please join me in thanking Samantini and Angela for these wonderful insights.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be best-selling author Simon Sinek.